Today we conclude our series on men and women. This started a couple weeks ago, and appreciate Rachel and the words she brought last week, and I know many were encouraged by that. She talked about biblical femininity, and today I address this matter of biblical masculinity. And so we know from nature and from the Bible and from common sense that what makes us male and female is not how we feel about ourselves, but what makes us male and female is the loving design of God that He stamped on every cell within our bodies. We believe that every design of God serves a specific purpose, and we know that without being made male and female, that we as human beings wouldn't exist. And that spanning outward from that truth, we can see how the whole of creation speaks to an order that's been designed and that's been rooted in this balance of the masculine and the feminine. And this truth is essential to the very foundation of reason itself. And that in any attempt to change this, we bring down the whole house. Our sons must learn how to be men. Our daughters must learn how to be women. And I know some of this comes naturally, and there's so much that's innate. Recently, we had some birthdays in our family, and our son David got a basketball. Now, it didn't take him long as a little one to figure out what to do with the basketball. But you know, our daughter Alice, who just turned 2, picked up that basketball, and what did she do with it? She started rocking it like a baby. Now, some would say, well, it's because we conditioned her to act that way. Well, we certainly have probably conditioned her in some ways, but there's something innate, isn't there, in a little girl to do these things. Nonetheless, young people today are getting confused more and more. There's this uncertainty who they are by nature, and if their parents aren't helping, it makes it even more difficult, and certainly the culture is not helping, so that makes it even more difficult, and we have a real recipe for trouble. So we're going to turn our attention to some of the virtues that God has imparted in a special way to men as we fulfill our calling and our purpose as He designed us each to be. And to do that, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. I introduced this text 2 weeks ago and gave some background on it then, but I want us to look at it now in more detail. These two simple verses, Paul lays out 5 statements, 5 quick words of instruction basic to our faith. He says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Father, I pray that you will impart these words to our hearts, that by your Spirit we will each receive from you your truth, that we won't seek to live by our own truth, but that we will conform to the truth that you have made, and that we will find our peace and joy in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, these 5 instructions here are really, except for the third one, very clearly applicable to everyone, whether you're a man or a woman. The point here is not to say that only men should be watchful or stand firm in the faith or to do all that they do in love, but there's something specific here that you need to see that Paul is doing. Scholars who study these things tell us that the style in which Paul is addressing us here is like that of a Roman general who would speak to his troops on the eve of battle. And this is the style that they would have used. So imagine yourself, or just imagine that day 76 years ago, that June evening, before the Allies invade Normandy. Imagine General Dwight Eisenhower coming into an army barracks, facing the men there that evening, knowing that they have trained for months and months, knowing that they are now about to engage in the battle? What is the general going to say? How is he going to explain things? He needs to encourage his troops. He knows that in the next few hours, many of them will die. But it's not time to pass the tissues for a good cry. It's time for them to man up, and the message needs to be clear. They are needing to rise up to be heroes in the days to come. And so we have Eisenhower's words preserved for us on that eve of battle. He didn't give a long speech. It wasn't a flowery speech, but it was typical kind of down-home Dwight Eisenhower style. And he finished by saying this. He says, "I have full confidence in your courage, your devotion to duty, and your skill in battle." He says, "We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck. And let us beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking." Eisenhower told these men what they needed. And I just gave you the last few lines, but earlier in his address, he made sure they were aware of the importance and the rightness of their cause. He made sure that they were confident in the training that they had received. He made sure at the end that they were humble before Almighty God. He knew what to say to draw out the best in his men at the time of need. And that's the way Paul is speaking here as he addresses the Corinthians. He's come to the end of his message, the end of his letter, and he wants them to get the basics and to know that they must stand strong, to be watchful, to stand firm in the faith, to act like men, to be strong, and to let all that they do be done in love. So it begins with that statement, be watchful. Be watchful. He's saying, stay awake, stay alert, keep your heads up. Be on your guard. There's a real battle waging around us, and it's not the battle that you see. Paul warns of this in Ephesians 5. He says, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And then there in Ephesians 5, Paul tells us to put on the armor of God to fight this battle with. And at the end of that, he says, keep alert with all perseverance. It's that same idea, be watchful, be alert. Watch out for what's going on in the world. So I ask you, men, are you watching? Are you alert? Or are you sleeping at your post? Are you watching out for the ideas and the influences that impact you and your family? Are you watching out for the temptations and the dangers that will bring you down? Because men, most of us are pretty good at falling asleep. Jesus found that out when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his arrest. He went there to pray. He asked his disciples to pray with him. But when he went to check on how they were doing, what were they doing? They were sleeping. Matthew says that he came to Peter and said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And two more times, Jesus had to come back and find his disciples sleeping instead of praying. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Men, I know we get tired. You work hard, but we are still called to be watchful, to be alert. With everything that's stirring in the world right now, it's imperative that we be watchful. And don't just look at the headlines. Look at what's beneath the headlines. Learn to understand the worldviews involved. Don't just follow the crowd. Watch out for where the crowd is leading. And be a critical thinker. And in the midst of all this, be a person of prayer. That's what the disciples were to be doing when they were sleeping. They were to be praying. And so often we lose our watchfulness when we forget and fail to pray. But adopt a biblical worldview. Understand the conflicts that we face today. And be watchful. Be watchful. Next, he says, stand firm in the faith. stand firm in the faith. And who isn't inspired by somebody who stands firm for what is right? Isn't that what we need? And what greater truth can we stand firm for than the faith that has been given to us? And when Paul speaks here of the faith, he's referring to that truth of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus has done, that he gave his life for us because of sin, that he rose from the grave because he conquered sin and death and gives us new life, eternal life in him. Will you stand firm for that faith? Back in Ephesians 5, Paul's training for the battle continues. He tells us to take up that whole armor of God, and he says that we may have this armor so that we are able to withstand in the evil day. And to have it all done, having done all that, he says, stand firm. It's a theme he repeats often. Stand firm. He continues to list the armor. But we're not here to sit down and to roll over. We're called to stand firm. And the challenge to stand firm goes directly against a sort of popular idea, I think, among a lot of Christians, which is that Christians are to be wimps, are to be kind of just people who give up. A lot of people think since Jesus gave himself up and called us to do the same, that's the attitude we are to have, that when we face resistance, we're to roll over and concede. But that's not what Jesus said to do. We are to surrender our lives to God. We are to surrender our own ambitions, our own agendas, our own personal ideas, our own personal peace and pleasure, but we surrender these things in order to take up a greater banner, to take up the banner of truth that we never surrender, that we stand firm with in the faith. We commit ourselves to Jesus, and we do not give an inch on what is right and what is wrong. So we are watchful, and we stand firm in the faith. Next, we are called to act like men. That's the third instruction there, to act like men. And we looked at this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to give all the background that I gave on that at that time. But what does it mean to act like a man? Well, the ancients understood this meant to have courage, to be courageous in spirit. And certainly women are welcome to be courageous and encouraged to be courageous and can be commended for their courage. But men are supposed to be courageous. Men are required to be courageous in a distinctly manly sort of way. And there is a difference. Greek mythology uses the word often to describe the heroes and the gods. Hercules and Achilles were just dripping with this kind of manly courage. But there are other stories that we read of in which it takes time to learn this courage, to grow in this courage, to develop this courage, because we don't all just have it innately. We have to have it tested, and we have to learn, and we will fail, but we will grow as we persevere in the faith. As I think about my own home and the marriage that Rachel and I have, I feel like we have a pretty balanced marriage. We know our strengths and our weaknesses, and we've, in the last 18 years, figured each other out pretty well, and I think things run pretty smoothly. We're a team. We take mutual submission seriously. We share in the leadership of our home, but when I go away on a trip, there's something I always say to Henry when I leave. When I head out the door, I say, Henry, now you're the man of the house. And what do I mean by that? Well, it doesn't mean he's in charge. But it means he is now the protector. He is the one to be courageous. He is the one to stand up. And now last week, Henry and I both left for 4 days to do some backpacking. So I looked to David. I said, David, what am I going to tell you? And he says, that I'm the man of the house. I said, that's right. And I was encouraged to come home and hear reports that he had stepped up and helped in ways that he maybe normally wouldn't have while we were gone. But we need to encourage our sons to act like men, and to know what that means, to be watchful, to stand firm in the faith, to act like men. And then Paul says, to be strong, to be strong. And you know, strength shows itself in a variety of ways, both physically and spiritually. And I think as men, we need to see that both are important. And not every man is built with the kind of strength that Paul Bunyan or John Henry might have had. And yet there's a reason God gives men, on average, a larger bone structure and muscular structure and a larger diaphragm, that God wants us to be strong. Now, as I look at my own life, I've never fared real well in arm wrestling competitions. I've sort of shied away from weightlifting challenges, but I decided a long time ago that I couldn't just concede to weakness. I focused more on endurance, and it's a less flashy form of strength, I suppose, but it's something. And as men, we should take strength seriously. Just living in a technological age when you can find machines to do the work for you is no reason to neglect your physical body. I believe the challenge here to be strong is both physical as well as spiritual. And men, we are more confident and more capable when we take that to heart. But there's certainly more to it than just physical strength. Paul says in 1 Timothy, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. So to be strong also means having that spiritual strength as followers of Jesus. It doesn't just happen to us any more than physical strength just happens. It takes discipline. It takes exercise. Commit yourself to the Word of God. Commit yourself to prayer. Commit yourself to being in church and to being in fellowship and to those things that will spur on your faith and allow you to grow strong in the Lord. Because where does that strength come from? It comes from God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isaiah 40:30-32 says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. So we need to be watchful. We need to be standing firm in the faith. We need to act like men. We need to be strong. And then finally, this last exhortation is the most important of them all. Number 5, he says, let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. All the other things he talks about here are meaningless if we do not love. Paul had just said a few chapters earlier in 1 Corinthians 13, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I surrender my body to the flames to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It sounds important, but what does it mean to really love? Well, we've got to go beyond the nice sounding words. We've got to push to a meaning that we can all live and understand. And one reason I think for so much confusion today about what it means to be male and female is that this word love has been so misunderstood. Maybe it's lost some of its manly side. Because love is both nurturing, it is romance, it is the personal expression of feelings. But love in the biblical sense is agape love. It is a self-giving love. It is a sacrificial love that puts all these things together. The love that Paul speaks of here is a love that takes risk. It's a love that says, I know this is going to hurt. I know it's going to cost me. It might cost me everything. I know I am setting myself up that I'm becoming vulnerable, but I'm going to do it anyway because I love. The love Paul talks about here is a love that refuses to settle for safety. It's a love that makes us vulnerable, that opens us to pain, that pours us out for others. Men who try to play it safe, men who hedge their bets, men who might seem macho and tough on the outside, but who won't commit to anything important in life like marriage or fatherhood or service to God, are the ones who fail. Because they fail to love. Too many men today are looking for the road of ease and comfort, peppered with an occasional thrill. But they will fail in life because they won't commit their way to what matters most. Afraid of what it might cost, afraid of what limitations it might bring, many turn inward and choose to close themselves off to love. But love compels us to live differently. Love says, I do, and it means it for life. Love announces joyfully, it's a girl, or it's a boy, knowing that there is a lifelong responsibility that follows such an announcement. Love is putting the Lord first in your life by being part of the church, by being engaged in worship and fellowship and service, and committing your life to what God calls you to do. So take these things that Paul tells us each to do and see how they are each fulfilled in love. To be watchful because you love your family and your friends. To stand firm in the faith because you love the truth. To act like men because you love the way God made you. To be strong physically and spiritually because you want to be ready and able to help the ones you love when they need it most. May the grace of God strengthen us for this task. We cannot do it in our own might. If we try, we will fail. By the power of God at work in us, we will enjoy the pleasure of being who He created us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we celebrate today the gift of the way you made us, of what it means to be a man or to be a woman. And we know there's such confusion. And we know as a church, we haven't always gotten this right. But Lord, we humbly come to you and we thank you for what your word teaches us. We thank you for what your creation teaches us. And Lord, help us to live this out and to know the joy and the satisfaction that comes with this. Help us to be an example to our sons and daughters, to teach them in the way that they should go. And we pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.